We now bring to these microphones David James. It's time for our weekly conversation. We're finished with 2015 into 2016, and we want to look ahead to this next year, what may be happening, a look at theological issues and trends for 2016 with David James. We'll go bottom line, what's God's Word have to say about it? We'll do that as we have our conversation. David, Happy New Year to you, my good friend.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you as well.
Thank you so very much. David, last week we did a review of a few major theological issues for 2015, and we actually focused primarily on teaching dealing with prophecy. Now this week, I want us to look at a year ahead in light of how these and other issues seem to be trending.
Well, that's a great place for us to start this year. You know, there... 2015 certainly was quite an amazing year, and a lot of the things that we discussed are certainly on a track to continue, as well as maybe some new developments as well. So it's a great way to start the year.
You know, before we get into discussing actually 2016, it may be helpful to address something that comes up from time to time as we deal with controversial issues. This week we were challenged by a very high-profile teacher for not going to him personally before mentioning him publicly. Does he have a point, and is this a fair criticism?
Well, actually, I would have to say that he doesn't. And, you know, over the past several years, as we have dealt with these issues, I've had several people bring this issue up, not just with me, but I've heard that others have had it brought up with them as well. And it's based upon the idea, primarily in Matthew 18, but also a similar passage in Luke 17, and also perhaps something similar or somewhat related in Matthew 5, the idea of going to your brother in private. But the point in those passages, in all three passages, are the issue of a personal offense and a personal sin against someone. Whereas what we're dealing with are where these teachers have gone public, are influencing thousands, even up to millions of people with what they are teaching. It's out there in the public marketplace, and it's not a matter of a personal offense, and that's one reason why I try to stay away from judging motives, to not make it personal. We're dealing with the teaching primarily, but also we do need to make sure that people understand who's putting this out, so that when they're handed a book or sent a link to a video, they know to have, you know, to be watching when these people mention these things. So, you know, my concern with this is it's actually representative of the bigger problem, and that is not really handling Scripture in a responsible way, and then attempting to apply passages that don't apply correctly, and then, you know, challenging us by using the same method with these passages.
And basically ignoring any accountability to the public for what they are saying publicly. I'm always reminded of the Apostle Paul, Galatians chapter 2. He walked in, and Peter was there with the Judaizers, and Paul didn't go over and say, hey, Peter, let's step outside for a moment. He took him on right there publicly, because he publicly was doing something that was totally wrong. Well, let's begin with the homosexual same-sex issue that you've referred to as the LGBT agenda. Now, with the Supreme Court's decision last June, this has certainly become rooted deep both politically and culturally, but it also seems to be gaining a lot of traction in the church, doesn't it?
That's true, and certainly 2016 is going to see this ramping up. You know, there were a lot of wins, if you could put it that way, for that camp, both against Christian business people, then against states' rights with the Supreme Court decision. You know, you could say they're feeling their oats, so they're continuing to be more aggressive and probing. And the same advice I had last year, we discussed, I would say this year, churches and organizations need to be ready. They need to put in statements of faith, their positions, defend them biblically. There's also even a booklet available through Focus on the Family that I would recommend to every church and organization get and read. It's a free booklet. You can go to the Focus on the Family website and find out where you stand and how to take positions to avoid the legal ramifications that could hurt a church and a pastor or in Bible teachers.
And in Bible ministries of any type as well. Well, David, where do you see things going with the failed predictions surrounding the Harbinger, the Jewish Sabbath year, and the Jubilee, and the Blood Moons issue, since nothing really happened back in September?
Well, I see a couple of things happening. One, as we discussed last week, this actually hasn't seemed to slow these folks down who have taught these things, except perhaps Mark Biltz, because he takes a position that since nothing happened this September, the tribulation can't start for another 7 years, which by itself is another dangerous teaching. But to be honest with you, this whole thing has really become a cash cow for publishers and endorsers and people doing interviews and radio and TV programs, having these guys on as guests. Plus, you know, a lot of other people have picked up on these things, and they're beginning to write books on these issues and trying to extend this whole thing. So I think we're going to see more developments. I think we're seeing that people are digging in their heels even more. I also think that we're possibly going to see even more far out predictions until they either fail so completely that they lose all credibility or find something new to sell to the public, because unfortunately we have a public, including the church, that is looking for the next sensational thing.
You know, one of the major topics we did not discuss this last week is the growing trend against dispensationalism, and especially attacks against pre-tribulational rapture of the church. Now, you probably ought to explain those two terms, but do you see this gaining momentum in 2016?
Well, dispensationalism is simply the idea that we see that the Bible very clearly teaches that God does different things in different ways at different times in history. The fact that we don't take sacrifices to worship in church is just one example of that. And when we talk about the pre-tribulational rapture, that means that true born-again believers in Christ are caught up into the air to meet Christ in the air, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15 through 18 particularly. There's a growing backlash against that teaching. There was a video series, a four-hour documentary that came out called Left Behind or Led Astray, which is very anti-dispensational in its approach, and definitely see this gaining momentum. The pre-wrath rapture of the church, which sees the church going through part of the tribulation, not being raptured until around the sixth seal judgment, that's gaining a lot of attention after kind of being on the back burner for almost 20 years. So, you know, these are problematic things when people are not handling scriptures correctly, not putting the whole counsel of God's word together in the right way.
Another ongoing problem in 2015 was the tide continuing to turn against Israel, while the pro-Palestinian sentiment continues to develop. Now, this is both in the world and in the church.
Well, that's true, and in some ways it's connected to the previous issue of the trend against dispensationalism, because not only is it those who teach a pre-wrath rapture, even a post-tribulational rapture, but there's a growing movement in the development of extreme Calvinism, and which is accompanied with covenant theology, which says that Christ won't even have a literal 1,000-year reign on the earth. And if that's the case, that means that national Israel has no future, and the state of Israel is not seen as having a claim to the land, and the Palestinians are seen as having just as much right to the land. And so we're seeing this both at the geopolitical level, both in the region, even in the United States and around the world, and then in the church. So Israel is really quickly losing its friends. And then with what's going on in the Middle East right now with ISIS, just this past week has said Israel's next on the target. And really, Jordan is the only thing that stands between. They're the buffer zone between ISIS and Israel, and King Abdullah is able to do, but Jordan has very limited resources. So it's a problem for sure.
Last week, David, we discussed the postmodern prophetic paradigm, and that is what prompted the reaction that we talked about earlier in this discussion.
Well, you're right, and I think this is another instance of where things continue to develop, where people are looking for more spectacular things. Well, we've talked about the UFO Nephilim theology. In fact, one of the promoters of that is the one who challenged us for even bringing his name up last week. And, you know, these guys are now speaking at large conferences or making inroads into some formerly or churches that could even still be considered Bible-teaching churches. But these are guys who are going beyond what the Bible says. They're raising speculation to the level of biblical exposition. And they're also going to extra-biblical sources, even ancient mythologies, and bringing those in to support their views. From what I see, this is going to continue and even get worse in the year ahead.
David, another trend that we need to conclude maybe our discussion with, we discussed quite a bit, is the worldwide religious convergence, which seemed to gain a lot of momentum in 2015. Talk to me about that.
Well, that's true. We talked about Pope Francis and what he's done and the gravitation of a lot of evangelicals toward him because of some of his ways of handling things with a pastoral approach. And certainly his reaching out to Muslims and Jews and considering them even brothers at the level of salvation and justification before God. And all of this is moving toward setting the stage for end times events, as we have discussed. And this is going to continue for sure.
As we think about last week, 2015 in review, and now looking forward into 2016 with some of our thoughts, I would probably say that we need to suggest to the body of Christ eavesdropping on this conversation, put away other people's books, pick up the book, the Bible, and start studying it. It's going to lay out the end time scenario that's absolutely correct, will it not?
That's true, and that would be a good New Year's resolution. You know, when you pick up other people's books, and especially when you pass them on, you take up the mantle of a teacher, and teachers have responsibility. Be very careful about forwarding links that are sent to you. Search these things out in the Scriptures. Make sure you understand and compare everything against the Word of God, and make that your pattern for the year ahead.
Wow, what a pattern to set for each and every life. Each and every one who claims Christ as Lord and Savior. Search the Word of God, allow it to be that which dictates how we live as we await His soon shout to call us up to be with Him at the rapture of the church. David, Happy New Year to you, my good friend, again, and thank you so much. We'll continue throughout the year talking, having very important conversations. We'll talk to you next week.
Always a pleasure, Jimmy. Thank you.